Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go, hour 3, show flying by. Live in Los Angeles, it's The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. So Mel Kiper has a mock draft. He's got Mac Jones going third to San Francisco. Then he has Miami moving up to 4 to get Kyle Pitts. See, I do think Atlanta at 4, Miami at 6, Denver at 9, Dallas at 10. I think those teams are going to make moves. That's why.
I don't see Miami moving because I think Miami would be comfortable with taking Ja'Marr Chase.
Boy, I don't know. They already got two good receivers.
Listen, can't lose with Kyle Pitts. I wouldn't be mad at it, but.
Not very often you move up for a tight end, but not very often you have Kyle Pitts. And tight ends just matter more. Go look at the last 5 Super Bowls.
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, it's. You have and a then, transformational tight end.
Here's what's funny for Atlanta. So Mel Kiper has Atlanta moving down from 4, which if I was Atlanta, that's what I would do.
Yeah, I would also.
Yeah. But he has them moving down. They just flip spaces with Miami. So Miami, in his thing, calls up and says, hey, we'll give you, if we can move up 2 spots, I don't know what that means, a first round or whatever. Yeah, Cincinnati's, Miami's done so well in abusing Houston with a Laremy Tunsil deal. So Miami's got so much draft capital, they now could give away a first-round pick.
Yeah, they could do it.
Absolutely. And then he's got Atlanta moving down to 6. But then, and that's what's interesting with Atlanta, Atlanta could very well just trade down 3 or 4 spots with a Denver or a Miami and still have a great pick.
Who's he have Atlanta taking?
Trey Lance, because then you get to a point where let's say you're Atlanta and you move down to a 6 or a 7 and a quarterback is there, and you got the first pick. So I'm not just getting Trey Lance, who I don't have to play, but I may have gotten an additional second round or a first round pick. So you do get to a point. Atlanta may have made the mind up right now. We're not going quarterback. We don't think. But if you traded down with a Miami 2 or 3 spots, and you got additional compensation, and now Trey Lance is available, now my opinion's like, well, okay, now you probably just take Trey Lance. Like, I don't think Atlanta should take a quarterback, given their number 4 spot. But if they could move down to Denver at 9 and get 2 firsts and a second, and Trey Lance is still available at 9, then you take him. Because I can solve my other issues and get a quarterback I can sit. So Trey Lance to Atlanta makes sense to me if they trade down several spots. But they don't have to trade down much. That number 4 spot is so, they don't have to trade down. They could trade down to 9 and get 2 firsts.
Yeah.
Then I take Trey Lance if he's available.
Atlanta's in a great position.
There's not a lot of absolutes with the draft. Outside of Trevor Lawrence, then that's the absolute. And it should be. Outside of that, there's
that in Cincinnati probably will not move.
That's probably good. Yeah. Cincy's not going to, they just don't do it. That's not their culture. TJ Hushmanzada, who's great in the draft, will be joining us in a couple of minutes. Well, Julian Edelman announced his retirement yesterday. And not only was Tom Brady quick to comment, but Bill Belichick also had some very nice complimentary words for the legendary wide receiver. For all Julian did for our team, what I appreciated the most was he was a quintessential throwback player. He could and did everything. Catch, run, throw, block, return, cover, tackle, all with an edge and a competitiveness that would not allow him to fail. It was a privilege to coach him. Wow. Belichick's never said that about another player. Brady rushed out to congratulate him on his career. And yet I turned on the radio yesterday, the radio yesterday, and it was a cacophony of, he's not a Hall of Fame player. Then what is? You got to add context to stuff. Do you know Jason Garrett has a higher winning percentage than Jimmy Johnson? Who's the better coach? Wade Phillips, Bill Parcells. Essentially the same winning percentage. But Parcells took over teams that needed to be rebuilt. Wade Phillips, a good man, took over very good teams that were never quite as good as you hoped. Context. Calvin Johnson is a Hall of Famer and should be. Great player. But he retired early because he didn't play in games that mattered. And he was tired of allowing his body to get beaten up. He only has 730 total catches, half of Jerry Rice. Calvin Johnson was so frustrated with his career, he had many good years left. He goes, I'm not playing in games that matter. Edelman conversely played until his body fell apart. If you ask Calvin Johnson today if he would trade places with Julian Edelman, damn right he would. And if you asked Edelman if he would trade places with Calvin Johnson, he would laugh in your face. Being in games that matter. I love Calvin Johnson, but he's more known for a catch that didn't count. And he retired early. Edelman, for a decade, made more big catches in more big games than any player. Super Bowl MVP. The biggest catch in Super Bowl history versus Atlanta. Second in league history in playoff catches and playoff yards. National TV. Let's add more context. Receivers on bad teams trail with 8 minutes to go. And they face prevent defenses and get what I would call junk yards. Julian Edelman didn't get junk yards because the Patriots averaged 12 wins through his career. So what was Edelman doing in the last 7.5 minutes of games? Blocking. Blocking edge rushers and Mike linebackers and Sam linebackers, all bigger than him, because the Patriots led and are part of the greatest system ever. And that's what Edelman was always about. Doing whatever it took. Edelman didn't get junk yards. His stats were in the heart, the meat of third downs in the quarters that mattered. A lot of you guys play fantasy football. I don't. But in fantasy football, sometimes receivers on bad teams are better than receivers on good teams because bad teams throw the ball late because they're trailing. Edelman doesn't trail. You have to add context that the Patriots had a system. And when you're part of a great system, you have to sacrifice things. Like Manu Ginobili would have averaged 23 a game. But in the Spurs system, he came off the bench and averaged 17.5 in his prime. He's a Hall of Famer to me. More context. Julian Edelman was always his best in the biggest games. He was the opposite of a stat compiler. Ask yourself this. What are the best friends? The ones that love those free trips to Vegas with you? Or the ones that show up when you're in the hospital getting a divorce or need to move? There's always the friends, the hangers-on who love the free dinners, the parties. They take your call and then disappear when it matters. Edelman is the friend that was biggest when you needed him most. New England doesn't draft wide receivers particularly well. So he never had that superstar number one receiver that got the double coverage. He often got doubled. Nothing against Calvin Johnson. But today, if you asked him, would you take 75% of Edelman's career? He would sign up today. I don't think Edelman would take more than 5, 10% of Calvin's. He didn't play in any games that mattered. Any. What's his biggest catch? And I love Calvin. I met him once. Nicest guy in the world. I mean, nicest pro athlete I've ever met. But baseball's always understood context. Baseball's always understood this. Mariano Rivera only has 82 wins in his career and pitched very few innings. But 100% of writers voted him into the Hall of Fame because when he entered the game, it mattered. He was asked with the burden or responsibility of closing out the greatest franchise in history's World Series and playoff games. He may have thrown 9 pitches, but they were the 9 most important pitches. Baseball understands this. John Smoltz is a Hall of Famer and should be. John Smoltz played for the Atlanta Braves, pitched forever, and they were great when he played there. And yet he only won 20 games once. How? But John Smoltz in the postseason was a magician. 15-4 against powerhouse National League teams. and they couldn't hit him. When you look at what Belichick said yesterday and what Brady was inspired to go to social media to say, I went for a jog yesterday after I read Belichick's press release, calling it a privilege to coach Julian Edelman. And I don't know why, but this quote popped into my head more than once. So I go on a jog, not a run. I don't run fast enough to be called a run. It's a jog. And it just kept coming back to me. Our 35th president, JFK, the late JFK, once inspired a nation, saying, ask not what the country can do for you, but what for you can do for the country. Now, Edelman's just a football player, and perhaps he only inspired Patriot Nation, Belichick and Brady. But what made him the quintessential Hall of Famer to me was he never asked what football could do for him. He asked Brady, Belichick, Kraft, and Gronk what he could do for them. That is a winner. That is a friend. That is somebody in a foxhole. You go ahead and win your fantasy league with receivers on bad teams getting junk yards who play on Thanksgiving and always lose and finish in third and fourth place. Go ahead, knock yourself out. Give them the jackets. Give them the gold jackets. But to me, what made Jerry Rice great wasn't just all his catches, but he was unguardable in the biggest games. You got to add context to stuff. What makes a great friend, a great player, a great coach? Jason Garrett's a good coach. Jimmy Johnson's a legend. Jason's got a better win percentage. Wade Phillips is a good man and a good coach. Bill Parcells is a legend. They have essentially the same win percentage. I don't care about innings pitched. When were you asked to pitch? When did you get the ball from Joe Torre? When did Phil Jackson call your number? When were you asked to shoot? Edelman, in the biggest games for a decade, was seemingly always better in the games that mattered most. And so inspired Bill Belichick that Belichick rushed yesterday to release a statement saying it was an absolute privilege to coach him. To me, that's a Hall of Famer. Apparently, my opinion on Edelman just drives people nuts.
Your opinion on a lot of things.
Listen, I am not into compilers. Are you great when I need you? Do you show up at the hospital when I need you? That's a great friend, not the guy that wants free dinner from me.
Well, I think when it comes to the Hall of Fame, there's just not one formula that should be followed.
Yeah, there's a lot
of different
stuff.
Some people that have played for at such a high level with such consistency that's why they have those numbers. There's some people who haven't played for as long but were excellent in shorter amounts of time. You have to look at the whole body of work and have some perspective.
By the way, you and I, during the last presidency, came to the conclusion that we were both way smarter than we ever realized.
Yes.
And you and I agree on something else today. We are just simply now, when we have these moments of clarity, we have to tell America.
Do we?
So
they're going to disagree with us.
They're going to ban. Oh, no, they're not. People aren't this stupid.
Yes.
The Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which I've taken, my wife's taken, family's taken, is being banned because a person died.
Well, I think they're just,
there's some blood clotting.
They're going to stop distributing it and then reevaluate it. I don't know that it's necessarily banned yet, but yeah.
Okay. 7 million people have taken it. One death. Folks, do you realize, you ever watch any of these commercials for any medicine on television?
Medicine has side effects, yes.
The side effects are, for good drugs, are many. It is bleeding and loss of breath and dry skin and coughing. If you got rid or banned every drug or device where somebody has died, we would get rid of 80-90% of our devices and the medicines used in the market. People have reactions. By the way, as you talked about with clotting, which I've gone through a blood clot.
Birth control has much higher rates of blood clotting.
Should we ban that?
No, I take it every day.
Okay, so there you go. folks.
It's a combination of math and science.
7 million people, one death. The death is sad. You know, stop it. What? How many die if you don't have the vaccine?
Well, that's no one wants to pay attention to that because it's a hoax.
Oh, my God. I may run for president. I'm going to go up against The Rock.
I good luck with that. I have no interest in being president.
These are not difficult.
I'm much more concerned about being wealthy and controlling the world that way.
Oh, that makes
that
two
is my
of
plan.
TJ Hushman's auto next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
TJ Hushmanzada does about as good a job on the draft as anybody. He goes down to Irvine, and this morning he was watching Sam Darnold work out with Christian McCaffrey and Josh Allen of the Bills working out with Dawson Knox, the tight end. And TJ Hushmanzada now joins us live. 11 years in the NFL. By the way, so Sam Darnold, Christian McCaffrey, come on, tell me, what was it like? Come on, give me a little hint.
No, Christian McCaffrey is really good, and I know people know that. But I hadn't seen him in person. The way he runs routes, he's like a receiver. Like, it shocked me. And his burst, it almost like he was a rocket, like somebody put a propeller behind him, a booster, and he just takes off. I mean, I was thoroughly impressed. And just the fact that Sam just gets with the Panthers and the best player on the team comes out and works out with him, I expect great things from the both of them.
By the way, it's when you get traded or let go by a franchise, you know, Darnold said, it stings, right? And Joey and I have talked about this. If I got traded to another network, you know, you start to – how do you not lose confidence as a pro athlete when you're traded?
It happens, man. For Sam, it's once he has success, like he'll lose – every athlete, I don't care who you are, the best athletes, everybody has lost their confidence. And the only way you can get it back is to perform up to your expectations. It's not everybody else's, it's your expectations. As long as he performs up to his expectations, which I believe are higher than anybody can put on him, he'll be fine. But it's going to take a while for him to get back to the Sam Darnold of USC, feeling like I can do whatever, whenever, and however. But with the weapons that he has in Carolina, the Jets are going to look back and say, oh, Sam can really play. We didn't surround him with the guys needed to give him the success that he should have had.
Yeah. So Mark Sanchez said yesterday he likes that Zach Wilson from BYU is great in chaos. And I said, in life, whatever you're great at, you'll lean into. If you have a great singing voice, you'll sing in the car, you'll sing in the shower, you'll join a chorus. You know, we all lean into what we're good at. And I said, what worries me about Zach Wilson, who's better in chaos, so is Brett Favre, is that Brett Favre often leaned into chaos. He didn't want to learn pre-snap. He's like, I'm not going to learn a new offense. I'm going to be a gunslinger. Big Ben's a lot like that. Ben's kind of good in chaos. Ben's never really been a sophisticated pre-snap guy. Is that if you're in chaos too much as a quarterback, then you're not audibling out of it. And that's my bigger issue. Peyton Manning wasn't in chaos. When were there players in your career, maybe Ocho was like this, that they actually perform better off script? And how does it land? How does that land for you? And how does it land as a teammate?
Out of all the guys that I played with, it would have to be Chad. And Chad was, you didn't want to put Chad in a box. Meaning, for instance, I'll give you an example. We would install a new play and it would be okay. And too high, we're going to run it like this. When I say two high safeties. So in cover two, we want to run a route like this. Cover four, we want to run it this way. So that they're both too high, but we're going to run the route differently depending on what coverage. Single high, we're going to run the route like this. So that's three different ways we can run that route. So Chad is, you just got to let Chad be an athlete. Chad's going to get open, and it might not be what we just talked about. It was too high, Chad, cover two. The middle of the field was open. He's still going to get open, but if you try to overcoach him, then it can kind of bog down his athleticism and just natural talent taking over.
Yeah. So we were talking about Julian Edelman, and most people think he won't get into the Hall of Fame. But my argument has always been is there's a lot of guys, receivers on bad teams, and they pick up a lot of yards, 8 minutes to go against prevent defense. You know, I mean, I like Matt Ryan, but Matt Ryan trails in a lot of games with eight to go. He may pick up 130 yards in the last two drives, and they're meaningless. Edelman, with 8 minutes to go, led for a decade. The Patriots led. They won 12, 13 games a year. So he was asked to block. So when you look at Edelman's numbers, they're true numbers. He didn't have junk yards. The system asked him, return punts, block. But in the biggest spots of his career, he was always better. He was great in Super Bowls, great in playoff games. And I look at him and I think, I know the numbers don't add up, but you're talking about in the history of the league, if you said slot receiver, I'd probably be like, yeah, Edelman. That's why, and I view him and I think, I don't care what position you play. If you're a top two or three at a position all time, that feels like a Hall of Famer to me. How do you view Edelman? Not a deep threat. Don't have to double cover him. Probably doesn't have the yards, the touchdowns. How do you view him having played in the NFL?
I can't put Julian Edelman in the Hall of Fame. And when he sees me, he's probably going to curse me out for this. And I like him. He's a good player, but he was a role player in that system. Now, let me ask you this question. Would you take Julian Edelman over Wes Welker? Would you take Julian Edelman over Hines? But he couldn't beat out Wes Welker. He was Wes Welker's backup for a long time. He couldn't beat Wes out. So they were on the same team, and he backed up Wes Welker.
Well,
he couldn't beat him out.
Well, he was like a seventh-round pick, and then he started returning punts. And then once they saw he could return punts and Wes Welker was getting beat up on punts, then they let Edelman do more punts. I would argue this, that position, Welker and Edelman, has a lifespan. And the minute they thought Edelman was as good or better, because I think Edelman's better than Welker, then they moved off from him. But it did take Edelman, a college quarterback, a while to figure out New England's system. Is that fair?
100% is fair. And this is how I look at the Hall of Fame for me personally. This is my, are you a Hall of Famer? Are you not a Hall of Famer? When you played, I don't care. Like the stats thing, that doesn't matter. When you played and somebody says, Colin Joy, name the top receivers in the league, you'll name 15, maybe 20 guys before you get to Julian Edelman. And so name the top quarterbacks in the league. Brady, Manning, when they were playing, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees. If your name doesn't come up in the discussion, how can you be the Hall of Fame when it is the best of the best? When you say name the top DBs, Deion, Darryl Green, Champ Bailey. If your name cannot be brought into that topic of conversation, you're not a Hall of Famer.
Okay.
Joe Nelsman played well in the playoffs, but it's not just the playoff games. You have to do – it's a totality of your entire career, not just the playoffs.
But if I said to you, best slot receivers ever, because I look at there's the DeAndre Hopkins on the outside. You want a tall, angular, speed receiver. Those guys often don't run as good a routes. On the inside, I need route runners. I need blockers. So I look at him as a top three slot receiver ever. Do you?
Yes. Julian Edelman playing in a slot. Like he made plays. When the catch he made against Atlanta, I don't think anybody else makes that catch. That's going to be an incomplete pass. He made plays when they needed him to make plays. I'm not taking that away from him. But I just always believe, and I'll give you a prime, like Torrey Holt, he's not in the Hall of Fame. Isaac Bruce is not in the Hall of Fame. I believe they'll get in. Reggie Wayne isn't in the Hall of Fame. I believe he'll get in. One of the best receivers to ever play football, and I'll argue with anybody, Chad, he'll never get in the Hall of Fame. And no disrespect, Julian Edelman, he can't touch Chad when it comes to playing a wide receiver position. Not even close. Apples, not even apples to oranges, apples to beans.
But okay, let me throw this out. But Chad didn't run good routes. Chad wasn't
always No. Oh, that's so disrespectful, Colin. Chad is one of the best route runners in the history of the NFL. History. Not when he played, history.
Well, did he block?
No.
All right.
No, he's not going to block.
Was he easy on quarterbacks or was he difficult?
He was easy on quarterbacks because he created a ton of separation. He was difficult because he would freelance a little too much.
All right. A little bit of a freelancer. Well, I'm not – Hall of Fame has freelancers. You can be a freelancer. I'm okay with freelancer. I'm not saying – by the way, I'm just making the argument that I think in sports, when you play for a great organization like Manu Ginobili with the Spurs or Klay Thompson with the Warriors, you sacrifice a lot of stats because you're going to be leading games late. You're going to hit the bench. I mean, when you play with Durant and Steph Curry, they're going to be nights Klay Thompson takes 9 shots. If he played in Charlotte, he'd take 24 and score 32. So I think, you know, we look at Edelman and say he was elevated by the Patriots, and I think, yeah, to some degree. But I also think he didn't get any junk yards because they always led with 7.5 to go, and they just ask him, go block. Greg Jennings said that earlier. He said 7.5 minutes to go when he's in Green Bay. He put his blocking pads on. It's like, all right, guys, my day's done. I'm going to go block. See, now, when you played
– I mean, Greg Jennings was a hell of a receiver. Will he get to the Hall of Fame? If you ask me who would I take as a receiver, Greg Jennings or Edelman, I'm taking Greg.
All right. You don't like short slot guys. That's okay.
No, I want guys that can get open in any system. Like, if you can run routes and get open in any system, you can play. And that's, to me, is – a good receiver. Can you get in the slot and get open? Can you go outside and get open? And though, to me, that's Hall of Fame. Can you do both? It doesn't matter where you're at. Doesn't matter what team you're on. Can I put you outside and you run a comeback? Can you run a slant? Can you go in the slot and run a choice and option route? So that's how I look at things. And the best receivers that are T.O., he can do both. Randy Moss couldn't do both, but he was so good at one, it didn't matter.
All right, I'm done arguing. This was good. Hey, can you do me a favor? I never ask you to do me favors. Can you do me a favor?
I got you.
So do you know what the favor is going to be?
Well, no, it doesn't matter. What you need?
Well, say hi to Sam Darnold. You should tell him I said hi.
It's funny. We talked about you today. He asked me when I was going on the show, and I said today. He's like, does Colin like me? I said, Sam, shut the – you know he likes you. You just start laughing. You know what he did say?
What?
He said, look how I have my hat. I always wear my hat to the front. True story.
How about that?
He said that today.
I love Sam Darnold more today than any day ever.
TJ, you know what you're doing.
TJ.
Hey, Joy, no lie. We were sitting there, and he was like, I have my hat to the front. And then Josh was like, so do I.
See, you're influencing the younger generation, Colin.
I would love for those guys. If they ever want to sit in this couch, I'll give them the hour. Whatever they want to promote, I'll give them the hour. Josh Allen and Sam Darnold.
I'll let them know. I'll let them know for sure.
All right, buddy. Good seeing you.
You guys take care. Keep up the great work.
All right. We are influencing America.
He just made you. Those are your credence, your
hat on forward. Yeah. If you're a star quarterback,
that's you.
Hat on forward.
But you wouldn't care if they had their hats on backwards at practice. They don't even want to risk it.
But I like them more because they had it on forward.
Risk it.
Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
I told you I met Sam Darnold at the Super Bowl.
You didn't tell me that.
Yeah, I did. I told you, but I was like, yeah, Colin loves you.
Where did you meet him?
It was at some event. I was like, hey, I'm Joy. You know, I do the show with Colin. He was really nice. I was like, Colin loves you. He's like, no, thanks.
He's very nice, very humble.
Yes. He's very sweet.
All the traits I like.
Yes. And he wears his hat on forwards intentionally. I love that they are not even in practice. So Julian Edelman announced his retirement from the NFL after 12 years with the Patriots, as we were just discussing with TJ. And Bill Belichick is very, very, very high praise for everyone not named Tom Brady. In a statement released after the news, Belichick said, for all Julian did for our team, what I may appreciate the most is that he was the quintessential throwback player. He could and did do everything. Catch, run, throw, block, return, cover, and tackle. All with an edge and attitude that would not allow him to fail under any circumstance. Julian Edelman is the ultimate competitor, and it was a privilege to coach him.
Yeah. What does that tell you?
Well, if you look at his resume, we're talking about if he's a Hall of Famer or not. That's a big conversation. It's being much debated on social media.
It's 90-10 against. I am...
Well, because of that, well, look, he's the Hall of Famer. He's a type of Hall of Famer. If he does make the Hall of Fame, he's going to have to wait a while.
Yes.
I think generally the standard for the NFL Hall of Fame is if you're an NFL Hall of Famer, there's not a whole lot of discussion if It's more a matter of when.
Everybody's lumping him into receiver. And to that, I would argue, no, he's a slot receiver.
I do think that there is a difference.
Yeah, slot receivers, I need to block. You're on the interior. You're running through traffic. You're asked to block a lot more. You're also generally, there's a prototype for it. You want long speed guys on the outside. A slot receiver generally is a great route runner, sure-handed. On the outside, you're looking for a home run hitter. In the slot, to singles, double hitter.
And I think you need to be extremely consistent in that position as well. There's a little more grace for if you're going over the top, you're trying to make big chunk plays if you don't convert every time. There's just a little bit more factor in that. I mean, he benefited from playing in the Belichick Brady system and playing with Brady, of course.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily know that that matters. Like, you can't control where you are, and you have to contribute and produce in the system that you're in. So I think he is, if he is going to get in, it'll be a while. I don't think he's necessarily not a Hall of Famer, but I do think that the NFL kind of has that standard for Hall of Fame. It's like everyone agrees that you are, and then you'll eventually be in. But he's had an incredible career regardless, certainly a Patriots Hall of Famer. So a knock on Trey Lance ahead of the draft this year is that he's never faced top-tier competition as a quarterback at North Dakota State. Josh Allen also had his doubters coming out of Wyoming 3 years ago. And Allen sent a message to Lance as he prepares to enter the NFL. He said, "You're always going to have doubters. I've heard it all before. You're not good enough to play quarterback in the NFL. You're untested. Your competition is too weak. Ignore them. Get on the field and let your game do the talking. It's time to make some noise, Trey."
Yeah.
Josh Allen has fully blossomed. And look, I was wrong about Josh Allen. I did not think it was going to work. And I think after his first two years, I was like, this is a disaster. I actually can't believe they're running it back with him again. But he did have the physical attributes to it. And he's proven everybody wrong. So the thing about Trey Lance, though, that is interesting to me, and Greg Cosell brought this up on the show, he has the same amount of starts as Mac Jones.
Like, everybody's saying Trey Lance has not enough starts. Nobody mentions that with Mac Jones.
They have the same amount of starts.
By the way, Mac Jones also got in trouble in college as a freshman. That never comes up either.
Right.
Oh, but he's very smart. Excellent moxie.
And we don't say that to be judging. Like,
I wish the kid the best.
Disaster in college. Trey Lance, 17-0, 65.2 completion percentage, 172 passing yards per game, 30 passing touchdowns, 1 interception, 16 rushing touchdowns. Mac Jones, 16-1, 76.2 completion percentage, 336 passing yards per game, 54 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 1 rushing touchdown.
It really is interesting.
But it feels like we've seen more of Mac Jones
because he played Alabama, big games.
Trey Lance opted out of last year because of COVID. So the frequency, he's played football more recently, I get. But the idea that there's more tape on either one of them is silly. So that said, using your eyeball test, and because we have seen time and time and time again that it doesn't actually matter if you go to a small school, what matters is, do you elevate that small school? Do you elevate the players that are around you who are obviously not NFL players, which you can't say about Mac Jones at Alabama because we know how many NFL players there are on the team at Alabama. You can see the talent with Trey Lance, whereas with Mac Jones, all season long, we were saying we don't know what rounds he's going to go in, and now he's being talked about as a sure thing to go third overall to San Francisco, which they traded a bunch of picks to get. I'm not knocking Mac Jones. I just want to understand the logic behind
the good news
evaluation.
There is a good news. The good news, if you drop in the draft, is you generally end up with a better team. So let's say you drop to 11. Well, the Giants wouldn't take him.
Right.
I guess generally the point is.
No, you're right. Like, this is why it worked out so well for Lamar Jackson.
He went to a good team.
But he went to a great team. So, yeah, I agree. It could end up benefiting him. I just think it's just a little strange how the valuation is working.
Yeah, because the same teams mostly draft in the top 8 every year. Yeah. San Francisco had to move up. So, to me, that's very rare. Team drafting 3rd.
Miami having that pick.
Yeah, so that's rare when you got so much draft capital, you can give it up. So that's why I say Trevor Lawrence and whoever the Niners draft, will be successful. I just think Mac's ceiling is lower.
Speaking of Trevor Lawrence, he married his longtime girlfriend Marissa over the weekends. And
oh, he did.
This is the impact that him going to Jacksonville has already had. Jags fans got together to send them a gift. One fan found the couple's registry online and then rallied a group through Twitter to get donations together for a present. So they originally wanted to buy them a high-end $300 toaster. Which, if I spend $300 on a toaster, it better butter my bread as well.
Thank you.
So many people donated that they got a new vacuum, and the remainder of the funds will be donated to a charity of Lawrence's choice.
It makes me like him more.
What, that he got married?
Stable.
Yeah, they've been together for, I think, 4 years.
Yep.
He just proposed.
I know where he's going to be every night. Practice or home with his beautiful wife.
Yes, well, congratulations to the newlyweds. It's very exciting.
When Baker Mayfield got married, I liked him more.
Well, you know, you're becoming a man. You're setting up a home. You need a lot of stability when you're a professional athlete. Your home life needs to be stable to balance out a very stressful professional
life.
And you
have to sacrifice. Emily Mayfield.
Massive sacrifice.
Put the trash out.
She is not putting the trash out.
Hey, you have to sacrifice when you're married.
You know, I'm a huge feminist, but there are certain things that I just have no interest in doing.
No, Anne does not do garbage.
I do not have any interest in taking out the garbage.
Anne does. Put it right in the middle of the kitchen.
Nope. If you offer to put my luggage up in the airplane, I'm happy to let you do it.
No. Anne doesn't do garbage.
And I will not open car doors for myself. I don't know how the car door works. It's just, I don't know how it works. I forgot. What's this handle? I don't know how it works.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd.
I don't know if we're
going
to have time for my, best for last today. I may. It's can't in or can't out. Canton? Mm. Well, we'll see. I don't know. We start gabbing here and it goes long. I'm all good with it. We'll move it tomorrow.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
By the way, Joy Taylor's on Cameo. You should sign up, and she'll do a birthday wish. So I just got a text from a friend of mine at the company who is trying to get me on Cameo because Cameo's been trying to get me for 2 years, but
yeah.
I'm reluctant to do it because I feel like it's weird.
Well, there's nothing weird about it. People ask me to get you to make videos for them, say like happy birthday or hi or something, and I just don't do it.
What's the price I should do?
You can charge a significant amount.
Happy birthday.
Because you're very famous. Well, yeah, but I mean, like if somebody, you wouldn't just do it. You wouldn't just spend your whole day recording happy birthday videos for people.
Yeah, but I wouldn't want to rip them off. I wouldn't want to go happy birthday.
Well, it's not a ripoff if it's something that they want. Because you wouldn't do it for any other reason either.
I don't want to rip people off.
How are you ripping people off?
It just feels a lot of money for me to say happy birthday.
I donate all my money. So like that's
so
that's
you
what
do
I use
it and you donate yours.
Yeah.
You're really a great American.
I don't know.
You really are a great American. If I'm doing 15.
That negates the weirdness of it for me. That's how I circumvent that.
So you think it? You feel better about it if you just give the money away?
Yeah.
Like an animal shelter or something.
I love animals, but no.
Okay. All right, that makes sense.
I generally say homeless.
Oh, that's nice. That's very thoughtful.
Right. I try.
That makes me reconsider it.
Yeah, just if you charge a lot. And then, if you don't have to donate it, though, it doesn't, make you any worse if you don't donate it. It's your time.
It kind of does make you worse, though.
No, it doesn't. It's your time.
I know.
You're a busy person, and you're famous. And you worked hard to be famous.
You give yours to the homeless, and I go buy a big bottle of wine. I feel like a schmuck.
No, you don't.
I'm a terrible person.
You're not a terrible person if you don't. You're not. It's your time. Your time is valuable. You don't just go, at appearances for free.
Yeah. I got a lot of kids. I'm very busy.
Yeah. You have many mouths to feed.
God, this is so pathetic. All right, Fox Bet NFL win totals. I can't get over this. Listen, I'm going to make a gigantic bet. The biggest bet I've ever made on this show is Clemson over Ohio State 2 years ago.
Yes.
The biggest one I made last year was Green Bay over Houston -4.5 off an ugly loss. I thought it was – I went on Twitter. I'm like, that is stealing money. Browns over 9.5 wins. They get 5 games at home. They'll be favored by at least 4-5. They get Denver at home. They get the Raiders at home, though they lost last year, but it wasn't a windstorm. Take that one away. They get Arizona at home. They'll be favored. They get the Bears at home. They get the Lions at home. That should be 4-1 right there. They get Cincinnati at home. By the way, they get Pittsburgh at home.
I don't hate their away schedule either.
Well, they have to go. I will say this. It depends. Now, it's interesting. How does it fall, Joy? For instance, if they play the Packers and Patriots in December on the road,
yeah,
that's rough because it's, you know, Green Bay's used to that lousy weather. That you'd rather.
I don't know. It's strange. It's another year of Baker and Stefanski's system as well, which is.
You know what? You just made me think of a great segment tomorrow. You made me think. I'm not going to give it away.
Okay.
That was brilliant. And you don't even know you did it. Mm-hmm. When I tell you off the air, you're not going to believe. It's fascinating. just remember NFL schedules.
Okay.
That fascinating. Hustler Turf Equipment, most complete lineup of residential and commercial lawnmowers in the industry. Go to hustlerturf.com, hustlerturf.com. That happens about once a show where I think of a segment. You know, because you and I are just trying to fill space here.
Yeah, that's all we do. We just talk.
We're space fillers. I mean, we're just trying to fill in roster spots here. Okay, I'm about done talking today. TJ Hushmanzada, on all you people out there that don't understand the hat on forward theory, go listen to TJ Hushmanzada. He talked to Sam Darnold, Josh Allen today. What did they say? Brim forward. Winner. Those guys are Super Bowl winners eventually. It's right around the corner. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow's Wednesday. Tomorrow's a Jersey Mike sub day. It's the Herd.